John chapter 6, verse number 66. John 6, verse number 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him, speaking of Jesus. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day, your blessings, your goodness towards us. We thank you for the privilege and the time that you've made, Father, as your people, that we can meet together to worship you. And Lord, we pray you'd help with your word at this time and take me out of the way. Use me, speak through me, Father, that we might hear the wonderful words of life that you have for us in your word. Lord, hear about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for us and provided for us in so many ways. And Lord, as we consider this passage, will ye also go away? We pray, Father, for those who are here today and not saved. Lord, you know the need. You know where they are. And we pray, Father, that you might speak to them. Lord, show them their great need of the Savior, Father, and that without him they are lost and undone. And Lord, you might grant them repentance and faith. They might come to you as you command, Father, in repentance and faith. And Lord, you'd save them and just work. Help us now, we pray and bless. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. John chapter 6, verse number 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Here in this chapter, John chapter 6, we take a look at the beginning of the chapter. Want to get some context about what's going on here. We've got some work to do. This is a big old chapter this morning. But stay with me and listen as we try to put this together, and that the Lord might give us help and understanding about the situation at hand and the things that developed and brought the Lord and the people with him there to that passage that we read. In John 6, verse number 1, it says, and after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. He healed. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. This was the second Passover during the time of the Lord's ministry, if we understand it right. Then Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him. He saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? In another account in the Gospels, it says, the Lord said to them, fellas, feed them. And that's another account that we can take a look at another time. Verse 6, and this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do, that is the Lord. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, the money that we have, nearly a year's wages, that every one of them may take a little. If we can buy enough bread, if we could find it to buy the money that we have, that's not enough for them to just have a little dab for the number that was there. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? The lad brought enough for himself and maybe some of his siblings or someone else or for some time, maybe a day or two or more, and said, how can this feed this many people? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. So there may have been upwards of 15,000 there, if every man had a wife and a child, or more. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. They ate till they were full. As my father-in-law says, they could chew, but they couldn't swallow. All right, they could still chew, but they couldn't swallow. And Jesus, in verse 12, and they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. He said that to those that were there with him. And they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. How many baskets? 12. How many apostles? 12. How much did they have? Each one of them, and what I envision in these baskets is like a bushel basket. I don't know. But it was enough to carry some food. You know what? They ended up with more apiece than the Lord started with. The great work and power of God manifested there publicly, wasn't it? It was publicly. There were thousands of people there, the great multitude. And amongst the multitude, who is in this great multitude? Well, you have the people that are coming that are there, coming there to see the miracles and hear the Lord Jesus Christ preach. And they're there from all the regions about. And maybe when you have such a great multitude, you might even have the Roman government represented there. Why is this great crowd of people collecting? That would be an alarming thing to them. The Romans were used to putting down riot and rebellion and insurrection. It would get their attention. So there might have been some representatives of the government there. Along with the great multitude, you might have some Pharisees and Sadducees there, right? They were listening to the Lord and finding how they might catch him in his words. And then you had the Lord's disciples that were there. And the Lord deals with them all. A great public manifestation of the work of God and his power. Verse 14. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, "This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world." He is that prophet. He is the Messiah, the King. And the way that they understood what Messiah would do and what they were taught and believed is that he would come in, whip up on the Romans and kick them out of town and restore Israel to her greatness and a mighty nation again. Then Jesus, verse 15, when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, let's usher this fellow on in. What did he do? He departed again into a mountain himself alone. You know, making the Lord Jesus Christ a king at that point made sense to those people that saw what he did. But you know what? It wasn't what the Lord was doing, and it was not his plan. The Lord's working something else. What seemed so apparent and so obvious to the people, the Lord was working another plan. The great manifestation of God and his power, the great work of God there publicly, the desire of the people to do that which made sense, but the Lord had another plan. Verse number 16. And when even was now come, his disciples went down into the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum and going up north there and the Sea of Galilee. And it was now dark and Jesus was not come to them. They went on their own. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh into the ship, and they were afraid. It gives that distance because the distance from where they were to get up to Capernaum was much farther than the indication of the distance that they had gone. Okay, hang on to that. The disciples are out there rowing. They're doing what the Lord told them to do, to go ahead and take the boat up to Capernaum. Verse 20. Verse 18, and the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. Verse 19, so when they had rowed about 5 or 20 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh into the ship, and they were afraid. They see the Lord walking. They don't know that it's the Lord, but they see him walking on the water, and they're afraid. They see, as it says in another instance in the Gospels, they thought they saw a spirit, or as maybe we would say, a ghost. And they were afraid in that. What's the next verse say? But when he saith unto them, verse 20, it is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. Once again, not publicly, but privately amongst the disciples, they see the great power and work of God. They have an idea of how it should be. The very one that they're afraid of when he says, it is I. Don't be afraid. It is I. And so many times the Lord said, peace, be still. The great work and power of God, not manifested publicly, but manifested more privately amongst his disciples, misunderstood by them, but when they saw that it was of the Lord and him being involved, they weren't afraid, were they? They were comforted, okay? All right, let's read on. Verse 22. And another note there in verse 21, the distance that they needed to go to get up to Capernaum, and they had traveled part of that, when the Lord got on board, they were there. Okay? All right. The great power and work of God manifested there more privately at that time. Verse 22, the day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, save that the one whereinto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were going away alone. Howbeit there came other boats from Tiberias nigh unto the place where they did eat bread, that after the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? The Lord sent his disciples, and the people there that had been fed on that part of the coast of the Sea of Galilee, they were watching the Lord Jesus Christ, and they saw his disciples leave without him being with them. The Lord, they had sought to make the Lord king, and he had hid himself from them. And so they're on the lookout for him there at the place where they ate, and they don't find him. So much so that they spend the night, it seems. They see that the disciples are gone. They see that they can't find the Lord, so they go on the look for him. And they took shipping and go up to Capernaum and found him and said, how did you get here? When did you come here? Verse 26, now the Lord begins to deal with them and dealing with them in their hearts, as the Lord always does. Verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. The free lunch. That's what you're interested in, is the free lunch. You're not interested in the power of God. You're not interested in about what this power being manifested means, but you're just interested in the free lunch. That's the reason that you're seeking me out. You're putting so much labor into finding me so you can just not have to work to eat. Because I tell you what, the Lord takes the loaves and breaks them. Do you figure that's the best bread that you'd ever eaten in your life? Guaranteed, as Brother Fayard would say. And how about that fish? If that fish had been cooked, if that boy's mama had cooked that fish, and she was the sorriest fish cook there was, when the Lord broke it, it got good, didn't it? That was the Lord's touch upon it. He said, that's all you're interested in, is eating the food. You don't care about the purpose of it. You don't care about that. They're looking for the free lunch. The Lord challenges them, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Labor not for meat that perisheth. I tell you what, folks, do you want a message that makes you feel good? Or do you want a message that challenges you to serve the Lord your God and Savior? What do you want? Do you want a message that just makes you feel good and warm and fuzzy and that? Or do you want to be challenged to serve your Lord with the rest of the life that you have? To bring honor and glory to Him, to requite the Lord for His touch upon your life. Listen, the Lord well overpays us what we're worth, doesn't He? He does. His blessings are innumerable and are above and beyond anything that we could do for Him. Now, all He wants from us is everything we've got. That's all. That's all. And oh, and it's a blessed, blessed thing. He says, don't work for that that's going to rot and go away. You need something else, the Lord tells him. And He's going to manifest to him what that is. You need the bread that I can give you, which the Son of Man shall give you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Have you ever heard that expression, signed, sealed, and delivered? That word sealed there is talking about that decree or that thing that is written by the king or the governor, and that wax is put upon there, and then the ring that authority wears, he presses the signet upon it, and he says, this is from the king. This is from the governor. You know what? Jesus Christ is from the Savior. He is the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He's the judge of all, sent from God the Father. Do you believe it? Will you receive it? Amen. He is the one. Verse number 28. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Oh, okay. What shall we do then so we can get lined up here and work the works of God? Oh, the Lord dealing with them and dealing with hearts as he does. He says in verse 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God. What did he say? Labor not for the meat which perisheth. He said, this is the work of God. A passage that has a threefold meaning, I believe. This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. That's the work of God. That's what the Father does, and the promise of the Lord on his word and on the Spirit of God to move in the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls, that they would believe. Because as the brother told us, we are depraved, wicked, sinful, lost, and undone. And we need somebody to work in us and move in us and do something for us that we cannot do for ourselves. You know what the second thing, the second meaning is? Lost sinner friend, here you are. You're dead in trespasses and sins, and the command of God is for you to repent and believe the gospel. That's the work of God, that you believe in Christ. Not that you believe in your philosophy. Not that you believe in a man that's religious in this world and has a system of doctrine and worship that he says is right, but that you trust Jesus. You need Jesus as your Savior. Because without him, you're going to die and you're going to go to hell and you're going to be there forever. Or you're going to be there till that time of judgment when you're taken up out of hell. Stand at the great white throne judgment of God. Be found guilty. Your name not written in the Lamb's book of life. And the books will be open. This word of God, these scriptures will be open. And there you will be found condemned, bound on your knees with nothing to say. And as the scripture says, and recently the Lord has impressed me about how it says there, be cast into the lake of fire. That's what it says, cast. Cast. We say something to that that the Lord brought to mind. We throw away our trash, don't we? Oh, the value of your soul is great. Why? Why will it be wasted for eternity? And then, child of God, the threefold meaning of this passage. This is the work of God, child of God, that you keep on believing. That you keep on believing in that name by which we've been saved. Amen. Doesn't John, the Revelator, John the Apostle, in his epistles tell us that? We believe and the Lord saves us, and we have faith, we're given faith, and we believe in salvation, and we are to keep on believing, aren't we? Keep on believing. Even when it doesn't make sense to us, keep on believing in the Lord. Amen? Keep on believing in him. Verse number 30. They said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? The Lord doesn't operate that way, folks. It's by faith. Not sight. It's by the sight that we have through faith. But that isn't a sight you can put your hands on. What sign? The Lord told another place in the Gospels that a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. The Lord says, hear my word. And what did we just read? He says, believe. How do we believe? By what he says. It starts with what he says, doesn't it? And then what he does and has done and will do and is doing. He says, they say, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Here's the challenge that we give to you. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. That bread that they ate in the desert, in the wilderness, it wasn't given by Moses. It was given by my Father. And that manna, it represents me. It represents me, the Lord says. He says, for the bread of God is he which cometh. He says, my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven, and that bread is me. Once again, publicly amongst the children of Israel, the great work and power of God was manifested by the Lord and the using of his man Moses, and the Lord giving that manna from heaven so that the children of Israel could have sustenance there in the wilderness, it was publicly known. And you know what the result with these people in this day was? They trusted and honored Moses, the man, rather than God's man, Moses. You see the difference? They held Moses in great esteem rather than holding God in great esteem and the man that he used. You see that? Once again, the great power and work of God revealed publicly and misunderstood. Verse 34, Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. I think they're talking about the physical bread. They want manna. They don't want to go work. This is a lazy, non-working people. They just want the free lunch. They're freeloaders. All they have is an eye and an understanding of what their belly tells them. They have no understanding of that, their spiritual need. And the Lord's going to take them to that. He's going to take them to that. And you know, that's what you need if you're here this morning and not saved. You that are here, we that are here that have been saved, this is what we need to remember. That what the Lord has saved us from. He's taken us from darkness to life. He's taken us from ignorance to knowing about these things. And knowing about the Lord and his provision for us. Verse 35, and Jesus said unto them, I'm the bread of life. He's getting down to it, closer and closer and closer to the where the rubber meets the road, if you will. He says, I am the bread of life. I'm the bread of life that the Father gives. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. You need me. You need me, he says. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. You know, it says in Psalms chapter 103 verse 7, that Moses saw the works of God, but many, many, many of the people just saw the Lord's acts. They saw what was done, and they said, wow, isn't that something? But they didn't see how that spoke of the greatness of God. Right there, there were in that people, that host of Israel that the Lord brought up out of Egypt, they saw the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. They saw the quail. They saw the manna. They saw the deliverance from Egypt. They saw all the wealth that Egypt bestowed upon them as they left, as they drove them out from their presence. They saw the deliverance of the Lord through the Red Sea, but they didn't see God. They didn't see the Lord. They didn't see the Lord working on their behalf. They just, from one event to another event, it was just like another show. It was like a carnival. It was like a thing that it excited their flesh, and they were thankful for the deliverance. They didn't see the God that was delivering them. You believe not, Job. Remember what Job said? Look in Job 42. Job 42, verse 5. Job's a saved man. But the Lord exercised him in this. And Job 42, verse 5, he said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, speaking to the Lord. Job 42, 5. But now mine eye seeth thee. Back in John chapter 6, verse 36, the Lord says there, but I said unto you that ye have seen me and believed not. What Job says is that I really see you, Lord. I believe it. I understand. I understand that I am low, but a subject of your blessing and grace and touch and love. And you can do everything. Nothing's withholding. Not even a thought can be withholding from thee. And now I see the power and might that it is of you and that it is for you. Not just seeing what God did, but in that seeing the Lord himself through faith. The Lord says, I'm the bread of life, and he that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye have seen me and believe not. You're right here, and I've worked this amongst you, and you don't see that your need is me. You just want to eat. You just want to fill your bellies. Verse 37, all that the Father giveth unto me, giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Lord has given a people to his Son. Praise God! Praise the Lord for it! I'll tell you what, on this side of salvation, I'm thankful for it. God was working on my behalf before I even existed. Praise God. He's a powerful God. He's not a God in a struggle to figure out what to do with these sinners he's created. But he's had power from the beginning because he is everlasting. Now, lost sinner, you're here and you're not saved. Can you figure that out? You can't figure out who the Lord's people are. You can't figure that out. You're not even told or indicated to figure that out. What's the scripture say that's here for you? Verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. You can't figure that out. It's none of your business. But here's your business. This comes to you, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Do you see yourself as the wicked, guilty sinner that you are before God? Do you see that you're condemned before him? And will you be as these people and seeing the truth of God's word and that you are a guilty sinner before God and you say, no, there's another way. Jesus and what he's done is not good enough to take care of me. Or will you esteem him as he is and say, yes, Lord. Lord, have mercy upon me. This is how bad you need God. Verse 38, for I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. The Lord Jesus Christ became subject to the will of the Father. He learned obedience, it says in the book of Hebrews, by obeying the Father for the sake of the Lord's people. Not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Verse 39, and this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Praise God for that. The Lord won't struggle to save one of his people. He won't be in a fret or a loss of time or ability or power to do so. Verse 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son. Do you see the Son as they saw publicly, but didn't understand what the Lord's doing? Do you see the Son as they saw privately, but didn't understand the working and the power of God? Church, do we see what's going on and we think something is crazy, something is wrong, something, or do we trust that the Lord is working and moving? Amen? Yes. Yes. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him, will you believe? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe and trust in him and his power to save your soul. May have everlasting life. And not only that, I'll raise him up at the last day. Oh, the resurrection, the promise of the resurrection with the Lord, with that new incorruptible body. Verse 41, the Jews then murmured at him because he said, I'm the bread which came down from heaven. So who's he to say that? Verse 42, and they said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? They were offended at him, the scripture says in other gospels. They were offended at him that he would even say, said, he's from Nazareth. We watched him grow up. They did not listen to what he said. They did not listen to his message. They did not see the works, that it was the manifestation of the power of God for sinners' sakes. They were offended at him. Are you offended at the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you think that the gospel that he came and fulfilled is a bloody gospel that you want no part of, that you think is not necessary, you think is just obscene? Or do you see from what the Word of God has told you that you're guilty and you have a debt of sin and you have no hope to pay that? And do you see, will you believe that Jesus Christ is the only hope that you have? That you not just sleep your life away, that you just not live your life for yourself, that while the Word of God is coming out, you just won't just be lulled into the sleep of apathy and not care? Or will you praise the Lord, call out on his name for salvation, and not be offended at him, but be saved by him? Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know, verse 42? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? The Lord steps it up another notch, verse 43. Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. You need God. You need the Lord. And you need him bad. It's imperative. Your soul is at stake. And you need to cry out unto him for mercy, that he might save your wretched, wicked soul. Verse 45, it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Is God teaching you? Or is the Word of God coming, you're just drawing up and hardening up your heart and saying, no, I don't want that. I don't need that. That does not apply to me. Oh, I pray that you'll be taught of God. I pray and desire that you'll be taught of God. You need to be taught of God. Every man, therefore, verse 45 in the middle, every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. The Father sent the Son on sinners' behalf. Did he do so for you? Verse 46, not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God. He hath seen the Father. It says in John chapter 3 that no man is ascended up to heaven, but the one that came down. God the Father sent his Son for his people. Verse 46, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath, right now, everlasting life. Do you believe on him? Not a historical belief that Jesus did come, but do you believe that he came for you, for your sins, that he suffered, bled, and died, was buried, and rose again for you, that the entire account of the Gospels was for you? When I read the Gospels and look at the Gospels, I know that Jesus did that for me. I'm glad he's done it for you. But in regards to this sinner, in regards to this soul, in regards to the sins that I could not pay for, Jesus came and healed and lived and suffered and bled and died and was buried and rose again and is at the right hand of the Father for me. Amen. Now I pray that you see that he did so for you. Will you receive him? Will you believe him? He that believeth on me hath presently, present tense, hath everlasting life. I am that bread alive. That bread that you referred to that Moses gave as he speaks to these people, that is representative of me. I am the true bread. Verse 49, your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and they died. Because anybody that eats physical food, it will not cause you to live forever. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. He says, me. You need me. Verse number 51, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever, and the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. There will be no life unless I give my flesh that there be life. That'll be the only life that'll be in the world. Will you receive it? Will you eat this bread? Isn't that what the Lord's talking about? Not physically. But will you see that? He'll make that clear to us. Verse 52, the Jews therefore strove amongst themselves. They're getting riled. They're upset by the words that this man has brought. The Jews strove among themselves saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Again, they're thinking with what is being presented and just what's physical. They're thinking about this. They're not seeing that the need is in their soul. They're not seeing that their heart is corrupt and they need a heart transplant. They're not seeing that they're desperately wicked, but they say, we're pretty good guys. What's he talking about? Giving us his flesh to eat. They don't comprehend it. The Jews therefore strove amongst themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of God and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. The Lord, as they press and they press against his words, the Lord steps it up more and more, doesn't he? He steps it up. He said, you need me. You need to eat me. You need my flesh. You need my blood. You need to partake of me, or you have no hope. See, salvation is just not a concept or a doctrine or philosophy. It's the God-man. Salvation is Jesus Christ, God the Son, come down and become a man. We need him. Listen to what the scripture says. Verily, verily, then said Jesus unto them, verse 53, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, present tense, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I am dwelling in him. The Lord living within. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna. It's not that way. It's not the physical way. And are dead, he that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he as in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. You know what the Lord's saying? You need me. You need me. In regards to the eternal situation of your life and soul, you need me worse than you need food for your body. Let food for your body pass, because all that'll happen, and in your pursuit of that, labor not for the meat which perisheth. Because in regards to eternal things, you will die. Before your soul, you need to partake of me. For your eternity, you need to eat my flesh and drink my blood. It needs to be that close. When we take food into our bodies, it's very intimate, isn't it? It goes into our bodies, and the way the Lord's designed the body, it takes the nutrients out, and that which is waste goes out into the draught, the scripture tells us. It's very close and very intimate. The Lord says, you need me worse than you need that food for your body, and you need to partake of me in an intimate, intimate way. Verse 60. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Many of those, it says they're disciples that were following along with the Lord to be taught of him. They said, it's a hard saying. Who can hear it? Are we offended by the word when it comes to us? Are we offended by the truth of God's word? Are we offended by the word and what the Lord is doing in our midst, even when we don't understand it? Are we edified by the word? That even though we look around at circumstances, situation in our lives, in our individual lives, lives of our family, lives our life together in our church, as we look around and maybe we don't understand what's going on, are we offended by the word and what the Lord's doing? Are we edified by his word? And know that Jesus is working in us. He's promised to work in us, hadn't he? He's promised to work amongst us, hadn't he? And maybe it's going away that we don't even think can ever be right. But if we're honoring his word, and he's given us his word, and we don't understand the circumstance of the situation, are we offended or are we trusting in him? We need to partake fully of the Lord Jesus Christ and know. Remember the example that the Lord gave, a public display of his power, but they didn't understand the purpose of it in the feeding of the 5,000. They just wanted the free lunch. A more private display of the power of the Lord. They're amongst the disciples there out on the boat. They didn't understand what was going on, but when they saw the Lord, they were okay. How is it with us? How is it with us? Are we living by faith? Are we living by sight? They said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? And when Jesus knew in himself, verse 61, that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? Eating my flesh and drinking my blood? Being that intimate and that close in your relationship with me? The application of me to your soul, to your life? What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before, is that going to offend you? When the Son of Man is taken away from you, is that going to cause you to go away? What if it had been that the disciples, when the Lord Jesus Christ, giving the commission and was taken up out of the sight, up into the heavens by the Lord and by his power, and when he left the church, and then what if the disciples said, well, it's done. Where would we be today? Amen? Because if it wasn't for that first church being faithful to obey the Lord and being led by him and pursue what he gave them to do, we wouldn't be saved here today. Right. We wouldn't have a church for the Lord to have placed us in today. Will this offend you if you see me go up out of sight and me being taken away from you? He said, is this spirit that quickeneth? It is the spirit that makes alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. The way that you're thinking about these things that I've said, the physical reference that you're coming from, it means nothing. It's the spirit that is alive. It's the spirit that quickeneth. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. The words that I speak unto you, they are life. You and I need, lost sinner, you need the Lord Jesus Christ in a spiritual saving way. It's the only hope there is for your soul. Not a physical thing where we can wash you up and clean you up. Not a physical thing that we can reckon your sins and send in a payment somewhere. But you need to partake of the Lord Jesus Christ. You need him worse than you need daily food. Verse 64, but there are some of you that believe not. Faith. Do you believe it? Will you receive it? That Jesus Christ is the only hope that you have. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. Verse 65, and he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. That's the reason we preach. That's the reason the Lord's given his word. That's the reason the Lord made a promise that his spirit would move. You that are here this morning and not saved, as the Lord showed you that you're the sinner that needs saving, that you're guilty, lost, and undone without Christ, and that you need to repent and believe the gospel. Then we come to our text verses, verse 66. Due to this hard saying, due to this spiritual talk, due to this misunderstanding of the manifestation of the power of God and the purpose and plan of the Lord, from that time, verse 66, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. That's sad, isn't it? You know what it says in Micah chapter 6? Turn over there, Micah chapter 6. This is a question. This is not a statement. Micah chapter 6, verse number 8. This is a question. How will you answer it? He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God as he showed you? Back in John chapter 6, verse 66, from that time many of the disciples went back and walked no more with him. That's sad, isn't it? That's sad to quit walking with the Lord. Because that's what the Lord shows us, that is that we need to walk with him, don't we? Walk with him on the path that he directs in. Walk in him with the word that he gives. Walk with him even when we don't understand the circumstance and situation around us. Lost sinner, walk with him because he's the Savior. Take your life and forget about it and yield yourself to him in submission by repentance and faith. Yes, God, I am guilty. Yes, Lord, I am wicked and I deserve a devil's hell for eternity. Not looking around and saying, well, this one's worse than me and that one's worse than me. Lord, I am the worst one. Have mercy on me and save me. You've made a promise that your son came to save sinners like me. Save me. Save me. Save, Lord. Let the king hear when we call. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? Seems like the in vogue popular thing to do. Will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. You've got the word we need, Lord. There's no other place to go. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, Savior, Messiah, Redeemer, the Son of the living God, the representative of God for men. How about you? Will you believe? Will you believe that the Lord is the one that you need? Will you believe that you need to partake of him in repentance and faith? Will you believe that he is the Savior and the only one that can pay your debt of sin? Child of God, church, Olmsted Baptist Church, will we believe that the Lord is our answer to everything? Even when we don't understand and look around the circumstances and situations, what's going on? But to trust in him and his word that he will and is working. Will you also go away? Let's stand together and have a song. If there's any way that we can help you, if you have concern about your soul and would like us to read scriptures with you, pray with you, and tell you about more about the Lord Jesus Christ and his power to save. If you're a member of the church and there's something you want to tell the church, it's an opportunity for you to do so. If the Lord's leading in any way and you need to make known publicly, it's an opportunity for you to do so. I can't save you. Church can't save you. This aisle, there's no special carpet that we buy for right here. It's just an opportunity to tell the church. That's what it is. The invitation to salvation is in the Word of God. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Whosoever will take of the water of life freely, let him come. Not to me, but to the Lord.